Have not I said unto thee in the past that yea, I would give thee a complete revelation of my being? And yea, I say unto you this night that I am a mighty God to the pulling down of the strongholds of the enemy. And yea, I say unto you this night that I am Yahweh, I am that I am. For yea, I can speak unto myself and say, go thee forth. But yet I give thee that power also. Because yea, I desire to inhabit you, and I desire to inhabit the praises of my people. And I say unto you that if you will look unto me, yea, you will see. And as you see, I will reveal myself unto you. For I am not a hidden God. Yea, I am not a God that cannot be seen. Yea, I am not a God that cannot be felt. But I say unto you this night, my people, if you will look unto me, yea, I will lead thee, and I will guide thee, and I will teach thee all truth. For yea, I have set aside for thee revelations of myself. Yea, I have set aside for thee revelation of those things that are around about you. Have not I said in my word that my thoughts are not your thoughts and your ways are not that my ways are not your ways? And I say unto you that yea, I desire to bring thee together in me. Yea, I desire to give you the power of my name. Yea, I desire to give you the power of my being. Yea, I desire that you walk before me, as you walk before me in righteousness and holiness, as I have been speaking unto thee these past weeks. I say unto thee this night that, yea, I, the Lord thy God, will give thee a revelation of myself. Yea, you shall see me high and lifted up. Yea, you shall see the throne room of God. Yea, you shall see those things that are around about me. And as you see those things, and as you acknowledge those things, yea, I say unto you that I will bring my presence into thee, and I will cause thee to go forth, and I will cause thee to speak things into existence, yea, that I shall show thee of, for I am that I am, saith the Lord thy God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a joy to be in the Lord's house. You know, for years I used to invite the Lord to his place. I had to stop doing that. The Lord corrected me one day. He said, why don't you just thank me for being that I've invited you as my guest to my place? It's a whole different perspective. And you see, the way you see it is the way it is to you. Do you understand the word perspective? Lord's doing some awesome things in the earth these days. We are definitely in the end times. The Lord is doing some miraculous things. He's calling a people unto himself, and he's revealing things to us that we've not known as the church in these last days. And it's all a fulfillment of Scripture. In Daniel 12:4, the Lord told Daniel this, seal up the book, O Daniel, till times of the end. For in that day, Daniel, knowledge shall run to and fro in the earth. And we're the generation. We are the generation of revelation. We're the generation that was going to see and experience things that other generations before us couldn't even begin to touch. The Lord is making full circle. And he says, he that has an eye to see will see. And he that has an ear to hear will hear what heaven has to say to planet earth and those that dwell here. And I said, Father, who are these who have eyes to see and ears to hear? He said, those who want to. So if you're hungry tonight, come and dine. The Master calleth. Pull up to the table of the Lord tonight. We're going to feast together. Amen. It's a real joy to be with you. I believe in kingdom connections. I believe that there's people we're supposed to connect with. I believe there are those of you out there today, that tonight, that are meant to connect with certain people. I believe I was destined to connect with this house. My prayer is, Lord, there are those that we're supposed to be with. There are those that we're supposed to help. There are those that we're supposed to love. We're supposed to encourage them. Father, help me find them. Wherever they are, I have a heart for pastors. It's an apostolic thing. I have a heart for pastors. Most are hurting. Most are suffering to a great degree. I've been in it for 40 years. I didn't show up yesterday. Didn't fall off of a load of pumpkins. So I've been through some stuff to get here. Hallelujah. So Barbara, my wife, and I, soon to be 47 years, we've been through just about everything you can think of to be through. Having done all, stand with the full armor of God. Having done all, stand in the full counsel of God. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I want to blow this here shofar. And I want you to shout. I'm going to blow seven sounds. Tomorrow I'll go into those seven sounds. I'll break them down for you, what they are. For now, I'm just going to give them to you. If I go into the seven sounds, start identifying them and telling you what they are. But I want you to know you're going to hear seven sounds. Each one means something, okay? I want you to know that. But when the ark began to move, when the presence of God began to move in the times of Moses and David, there's a shout that went up from the camp of Israel. Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. What'd they shout? I don't think the devil's afraid of that shout. You shout better standing. Come on. Now I'm going to get through the seven sounds. When I'll get to the shout, we're going to shout, Arise, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered. What are we going to shout?
Arise, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered.
All right, lift your hands. I'll get lead you in the shout when we get there. I'm going to do seven sounds. Your enemies be scattered. Give the Lord praise. The demons in the valley said, "What was that?" You may be seated. One of those sounds was the sound of war. One of those sounds were the sound of warning. And when Israel's camp was moved, the trumpeters went before the ark. The scripture clearly teaches us that. The trumpeters led the way. And when the enemies of Israel, when Israel walked where she was supposed to walk, when she loved God like she was supposed to, when she was a worshiper like she was supposed to, there wasn't an enemy on planet Earth that could stand against her. So when she was in this holy place with a holy God, when she went out and she went in to possess the land, those sounds of war were sounded. And those ones out there were saying, they said, "Oh God, here comes them Hebrews again. We can't fight this God. He opens the Red Sea. He parts the Jordan. We're out of here." I'm telling you, the demons of hell know those sounds. And I believe they tremble when they hear them, because you see, they're eternal beings too, and they heard them before. And for the first time in history, for thousands of years, they're being sounded again. The Lord is putting together an end time army. Now, everybody don't get it, but there is a remnant that do. The hungry will get it. The hungry shall be fed, and they shall be satisfied. Hallelujah. Over on the table, just a couple of commercials. We got some grafted in symbols. If you've never seen the grafted in symbol, this is called the one new man. This is actually a symbol that was dug up on the, not this one itself, but this is a replica. On the Temple Mount, 32 artifacts were dug up in 1992 by a German archaeologist, and he found these odd-looking symbols on different pieces of pottery. It's now been traced back to the Book of Acts symbol. Israel was always called to be the light of the world. It wasn't a new thing when Jesus came on the scene and taught us that. Israel was meant to be. If you go to Exodus chapter 19, 1 through 6, it tells us what the Lord's plan was for the nation of Israel, believing Israel. Well, we know the fish was the Christian symbol. Now, isn't it neat that the fish is upside down, the base of the menorah comes down, and the fish tail comes up, and look what it makes. I didn't come up with this. I didn't invent it. But it was discovered in this generation. Hallelujah. Also, we have just a couple of the books left on restoring the church to our covenant roots. This is called Messianic Church Arising. This is Dr. Robert Heidler with Glory of Zion out of Texas. He and Chuck Pierce have put this book together. He goes through this thing, and he actually says things like, once upon a time, there really was a Book of Acts church. Once upon a time, the dead were really raised. Once upon a time, the blind saw, the lame man walked. Once upon a time. I believe with everything that's in me to believe that our Father, Elohim, that's God in Hebrew. Elohim, Yahweh, I got this little thing with Yahweh. Yahweh, Yahweh, Yah. Did you ever notice why the Indians, they sang, hey, Yahweh, Yahweh. I'm part Cherokee too. But that's what they were saying. They were saying Yahweh. Did you know that the Cherokee, that we've found out that the Cherokee are part of the lost tribes of Israel? Did you know that? Pretty awesome, isn't it? I have some shofars here. I have some shofar banks. I have a couple of prayer shawls. This book, I have a five-part teaching DVD on the shofar. It took me 7 hours in the studio. There's quite a testimony on how this thing even came to be. For a gift of $10. These books, we don't make anything on them. If you order them through Glory of Zion, you'll pay $14 for them. We're selling them for $14. Okay, we don't make anything on the books. Shofars, we've become experts on the shofars. The Lord's been teaching me. I've been dealing with the horns for about 15 years. I actually do business with a man from Israel. I get to hand-pick every horn that we sell. And I said, Lord, I'm about excellence. If I can't sell a good horn, a good clean horn, a horn that will do what it's supposed to do, then, Lord, I'm out of business. I won't do this. The Lord brought me to a Jewish man. He's a Jewish businessman. He's not a believer. He has a business in Israel. He and I have become the best of friends. He can't understand myself as a pastor why I have such a love and a passion for Hebraic things. Well, just recently we had some people come visit our church and they decided to stay. Pastor, don't you like those kind when they show up? They come to visit and they decided to stay. And what we found out with this Jewish people, they come from the land of Israel. They were there for 6 years. They're from Romania. They'll be sharing their story next Friday night and Sunday morning in our church. They came across some volumes out of the Holocaust. We now know that we have two volumes of Jewish names. My name is Kretzer. Kretzer is a Jewish name. I wondered many years ago, Lord, what in the world are you doing to me? Why are you turning me upside down, inside out? Everything that you've taught me, Lord, in the past, Lord, this is just. I'm going deeper with you. Lord, who's going to understand this stuff? What are you doing to me? But the Lord began to teach me as a Jew that loves him, filled with his spirit, just like I was born in the land of Israel. I began to pray that way, and the Lord began to open up things for me and to show me things. Now, the beauty of this is that's the same thing that's happening to Pastor. You see, if you're hungry, blessed are the hunger. Huh? Well, they shall be filled. Is that what the word says or not? He said, if you're hungry, he said, I got something for you. Praise God. I have a commercial, by the way. Just starting Monday, this Monday, anybody know where Messiah College is in Dillsburg? If this week, David, they're going to have their conference. There'll be thousands of Jewish believers there in Dillsburg. You get to Dillsburg on Route 15, you'll see Messiah College signage there to get you over to the college. Now, Friday night, they'll have a special Shabbat service on a Friday night, and there'll be about 2,000 people in the auditorium, Jews, who will assemble and wait till they start to play the music. You know, in the church, we might say, now listen, if you feel like it, get a tambourine and move around, and maybe if you feel like getting a flag, you know, as we worship the Lord, we'd like for you to, boy, you don't have to do nothing to these guys. The Jews are party people. When the music starts, they're up and dancing, and you ain't seen anything till you've seen about 1,000, 1,200 to 2,000 Jews on the big auditorium floor dancing in the presence of the Lord. The Lord's doing all kinds of things. Everybody don't get it, but there's a remnant that do. Everybody's never been up on every move of God. This is a sovereign move of God. He's restoring us to our Judaic Hebraic roots, our foundation. He's bringing these things to us to show us things that have been lost. These shofars have always belonged to the church, but it got lost in history. I'll be sharing that with you in a little bit. Many of these things, the prayer shawls, all these things, they belong to us as Christians. But because we call ourselves Judeo-Christian, we got the Christian part down, but we don't know what the Judeo is all about. So I said, Lord, begin to teach me the Judeo part. Lord, that our heritage comes out of Israel. It comes out of believing Israel. That's who we are. And we were grafted in Romans 11, not to just any olive tree. We were grafted into New Testament believing Israel. I have a doctor, a friend, he's a doctor of theology, and he's Hebrew theology, and he says this, and I thought, wow, Lord, you want to shake up the church? You go tell them that. He said there is actually, the book of Acts was New Testament Judaism. It's all Jews. That's how I got into this thing. I said, Lord, I got questions. I've been to Bible school. I've been trained. I've sat under some awesome teachers. But no one ever taught us these kind of things. Now, can I tell you why they weren't taught? It wasn't time yet. Something happened when Israel became a nation in 1948. 1967, Israel's back in the hands, Jerusalem's back in the hands of the Jews. Things began to sift in the heavenly. Things began to shift. And an awareness. I was talking to a sister down here earlier before the service. She said, something's been happening to me. I'm being stirred toward the Jewishness of the Christian faith. What's going on? I said, I kind of sense, I might be wrong about this, but I kind of sense that many of us have got some Jewish DNA in it, and the Lord's stirring the pot a little bit. He's saying, hey, listen, there's some things that's been left out. There's some things that's been forgotten, but he's a God of restoration. You know, the scripture says this, that Jesus will be withheld in the heavens. He's not coming back. Acts chapter 3, there in verses 21, 22, it says this, Jesus is withheld in the heavens till restoration of all things. So the Lord's got some... Now listen, I'm big on Jesus. Could come back tonight. He could come back tomorrow. God can do anything. Father God can do anything he wants to do. But it says he's coming back for a glorious church. It says he will be withheld. He will be held up. He will be held back until the church gets to restored to who she really is. And she becomes who she really is. And she's about who she really is. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord wants the norm in the church to be signs, wonders, and miracles. Not one here, not one there, but let it be a place where the presence of God is thick. The Shekinah, the Shekinah glory of God fills the houses of God. As people come in, nobody has to pray for them. They come in wheelchairs, they get out of wheelchairs. They come in blind, they get their eyes back. The cancers are healed. Nobody gets to do anything. Nobody gets to touch them or pray for them. They just come into the presence of the glory of God. And instantly, the manifestation of the Spirit of God takes place. And I'm telling you, beloved, the day is coming when that will be so. And I said, Lord, what are we going to do with them? He said, you got stadiums, don't you? You're going to need them, because you're not going to have a place to put them. Now again, that church that I'm talking about will not be for everybody. You know, there's people that kick and scream about everything. I like the crowd that says, why do we got to change? We've done it that way for 50 years. Yeah, it hasn't worked, but that's the way we do it. How's that working out for you? Rick Godwin said this, the average Christian doesn't change much. God help us to change. God help us to adjust. If we're teachable, we're changeable. The Lord can do miraculous things with us if we're teachable. Get a chance to go to Messiah College next week, especially for the evening worship services. Get a chance. If you can only get to one, go. You'll love it. Hallelujah. Let me get back to this book for just a moment. I want to give you just a little bit about the table of contents, the church that God planted, the real church, the root and branches, death of the early church, what happened. what the church has lost. We are in the process of resurrection. Life from the dead. That's just some of the topics. I took this book for 12 weeks and preached every chapter in my church. Just a wealth of information. And I got to be truthful with you. Everybody didn't jump up and down and say, oh, goody, goody. I tell people this, be careful. This anti-Semitic spirit thing is a serious thing. People, and we have many of the mainline churches that are anti-Semitic. And I say, my God, does anybody realize Jesus was Jewish? How can you hate the Jews and love a Jewish Messiah? It cannot be done. Cannot be done. Some of the Muslims have gotten saved. And of course, they have the hatred for the Jewish people. And Jesus himself has actually appeared to them and actually told them, he said, you cannot hate my people and love me too. Can't be done. Can't be done. But I'll tell you what, God's breaking anti-Semitism, anti-Semitic churches everywhere. He's tearing down the walls. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The blessing of Abraham back in Genesis 12:3 still stands. I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. Now we go all the way back there to Abraham, knowing that Abraham, there's a foundation starting to be built. Now what's really interesting about this was I was in the land of Israel, and I'm eating pita bread and pea soup. I can tell you what I was eating that day on our bus tour. I was eating pita bread and pea soup. And a Jewish guy is sitting across the table from me. And again, I've heard the word Hebrew all my life coming up as a young Christian, as a minister, pastor, and I've never heard anybody say, this is what the word Hebrew means. So I got this scholar across from me, and he was quite a guide. He was very educated. And I said to our guide, I said, brother, I got a question. I said, I've never asked this before, but I got a question. He said, what's the question? I said, what does Hebrew mean? Oh, he said, that's one who came over. Colossians 1:13 says we were translated from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of his dear son. Do you know that Abraham was Gentile before he became Abraham as we know him? His father was an idol maker, Terah. And what Abraham was called out of the Gentile nations. Now, and see what the church, and one of the biggest mistakes the church is still making today, we like to call ourselves the Gentile church. Dear friends, can I tell you what Gentile means in Hebrew? It's goyim. It means pagan heathen. That's what it means. It's goyim. It's pagan heathen. So when somebody says, well, what kind of church are you anyway? Well, we're a Gentile church. We just told that Hebrew. If it was a Jewish person asked you, he knows Hebrew. Said, what kind of church are you again? Well, we're a Gentile church. And what you just said to him, we're pagan heathens. Now, if there's life and death in the power of the tongue, and that's your confession, you shall eat that which you confess, and you shall possess that which you confess. And so this Gentile mindset has taken over the church. To the extent when you start talking about Hebraic Jewish things, Pastor, I've been places where they act like we're going to start slaughtering sheep down at the altar. Line your sheep up. We're going to cut their throats down here and bleed them all over the place. That's not what this is about. But there are things about the old covenant. You get this, if you're a note taker, you got to write this one down. There are things that ceased at the cross. They changed. There's things that passed through the cross, and if they passed through the cross, they didn't change. The New Testament was written to tell me what changed. One of the things I like sharing when I go out is, do you realize that Jesus celebrated all the feasts? And yet you ask people in many places about the feast of the Lord. Well, they're Jewish feasts. They're Old Testament. We don't need them. That's Jewish stuff. Really. Leviticus 23 declares this. It says these are the Lord's feast. These are his celebrations. The Lord says these are my special times when I want to meet with you. And what the church has said was, we don't want to do it. Because of the misunderstanding, because it's an anti-Semitic thing. It's against the Jewish people. But the Lord spoke to me very clearly many years ago. It's been about 15 now. There in Zechariah 14:16, and this is what it says. And in that day, all nations shall flow up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And the nations that will not come up, the curses of Egypt shall be upon them, and there shall be no rain. Me, in my own ignorance, not knowing, not learned about the feast at the time, I said to the Lord, I said, Father, I got a question. I said, we're going to have Jesus. We're going to be in the land of Israel. We know that, right? And Jerusalem will be the capital of the world. You know that, right? I mean, you've been taught that, right? I said, why do we need a Jewish feast? Tabernacles? The Lord rebuked me. And this is what he said to me. He said, my church has forgotten my celebrations. And I said, my God, what am I going to do with this? So I started doing research. Now when the feasts come up, Passover comes up, Pentecost comes up. We just come through Pentecost. We're headed towards Tabernacles. Blessed be to God. I love preaching on those feasts. And I put Jesus right in the middle of them. I'll show you Jesus all over them. That's the way it was meant to be. Blessed be to God. Hallelujah. By the way, two of the Feast of the Blood Moons have already happened. Passover and Pentecost have come and gone. The 8th of June was Pentecost. We're headed towards the third blood moon, which will be Tabernacles. Already some things have begun to shift in my life. I'm telling you, the Lord is up to something. Those blood moons, there's only ever been 7 of them where they've fallen on the... Now listen to me. Why would they fall on Jewish feasts? Has to be a coincidence. No, it's not. It's a pattern. The Lord does things in a pattern. Brother, you start on that pattern thing. I said, man, he's going to preach my message. Go, man, go. Because I'll tell you what I've learned, brother. You could get up and say every word I got, and I'm going to get up and say it behind me because the Lord taught me this a long time ago. Pastor, I'm sure you run into this. You get into church, somebody, you ask somebody to open it up. Well, you open up with a passage of Scripture, and they get up and read your Scripture. And you say, oh, brother, that's great. They just read my Scripture. Now, what do you want me to do, Lord? Lord said I want it read twice. That's why I gave it to you. That's not rocket science, is it? So what I had to get over coming up through the ranks was intimidation. I had to be secure in who I am and whose I am. And I wouldn't be threatened by someone else's anointing. As a matter of fact, if someone else more anointed than me that would come on the scene, go man, go, come on, pull on the anointing. That's what I would do. I would encourage you. Blessed be to God. I'm not intimidated by somebody else's anointing. I partner with them. I'll encourage them and love them and push them forward. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The good news I have tonight was that Jesus wasn't a Christian. You won't believe the people that you say that to and the expression, why? I said, no. He wasn't a Christian. As a matter, I got one that'll rock your boat. You want your boat rocked? Brothers, that's your water and mine. I might have one for each hand. See, I have such a love for the old covenant as well as the new, and I've learned to balance the two. So when someone comes and says what I'm about to say to you, to me, I say, glory to God. Yeah, that's right. The Gospels were written, the life of Jesus, I hate to bust your bubble, but they were written under the law. The life of Jesus led us here on the earth was under the law, okay? And see, when you hear the word law, a lot of people say, well, that's the law, we don't need the law. Listen, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When that was written, there was no New Testament. Listen to me. If Jesus is the Word, and He is the Word, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld Him as begotten, only begotten of the Father, full of mercy and grace. Well, if Jesus is the Word, then Jesus is the Word in the New Testament, and Jesus is the Word in the Old Testament, and what part of Jesus do you want to throw away? But I'm telling you, you can balance the two. You can bring the two together. I love this. I said, Father, I asked the Lord questions. Pastor, this is how the Lord has taught me. I said, Lord, I got questions, and He's got answers. I just asked simple questions. I said, Father, you know, people talk like Jesus fulfilled the law, and now we don't need the law. Now, remember, the New Testament was written to tell us what we what did change. I'll get to that in a moment. But I said, Father, and this is what I said, Father, what is up with this thing? Jesus fulfilled the law, and people saying, we don't need any of it. He said, tell them, Jesus brought it to its fullness. That's a whole different spin on the law. Jesus brought the law into the fullness of all that it could be. Blessed be to God. Let's go back to the cross for a moment. If it ceases at the cross, if it changes at the cross, the priesthood changed. Jesus is now high priest. We're the priest. How do I know that? The New Testament tells me. Okay? The blood sacrifice has changed. Now there's a lamb. It's so powerful, once is enough. We don't have to slaughter sheep every day or every season. We got one lamb. One was enough, powerful enough. And I can go right down the line with all of these things that are in the New Testament that tell us that changed. The priesthood changed. The sacrifice. By the way, did you know there's only two major sacrifices in the New Testament? It's Jesus and you. Two major sacrifices. I beseech you therefore, brethren, Romans 1 and 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself, what kind of sacrifice? Living sacrifice, not a dead one. See, one good thing about the dead ones, when they killed them, they couldn't crawl off the altar. You know what's bad about the living ones? They get up and do whatever they want to do when they want to do it. So there's two major sacrifices. Scripture tells me that I'm a sacrifice unto him. So when I worship, it's a sacrifice. When I praise, when I give my offerings, it's a sacrifice. When I read my Bible, it's a sacrifice. Everything that I do unto him, any style of worship at all, it's a sacrifice unto him. He's my sacrifice and I'm his. And then I have those that like to say to me, well, Jesus wasn't Jewish. I say, I wish you knew your scripture. Go read Romans 9, 1 to 5. It talks about all the things that were given to us through Israel. And again, when I talk about Israel, unless I specify otherwise, I'm talking believing Israel. See, and I had somebody come to me and he said, Pastor, not about all these things. It talks about Israel this, Israel that. I said, listen, there's three things about Israel you need to know. There was believing Israel, unbelieving Israel, and there was the land of Israel. When the scripture's talking about one of the three, you need to know which ones are talking about. Romans 11, we were grafted as a New Testament church into believing Israel. And we're not talking apples and oranges. We're talking olives and olives. If you take a wild olive and graft it into a tame olive tree, what do you get? Olives. You get a better olive. That other one was a wild one. Israel is a picture of the cultured olive. You go over there, there's olive trees like we got apple trees all over the place. Blessed be to God. I'm going to get to my notes yet. You okay? Y'all all right? I mean, you ain't going nowhere tonight, are you? Huh? Sermonettes make Christianettes. Okay, and some of mine over the years, they've been burnt offerings. I took them home and I said, Don, that was a terrible job you did this morning. Throw that thing in the trash can, move on. They should have become burnt offerings. One of the things I like to tell people is this, Revelation 5:5, it says in the line of the tribe of Judah, Jesus, even in heaven, still keeps his Jewish identity. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. By the way, I want to teach you what the Lion of Judah, how he roars. I want to teach you how he roars. You ready? All right. I want you to do this after me. Ruach. Ruach. Holy. Okay. Ruach. Ruach. What you're saying in Hebrew is breath of God. You know what? You're going to come into a place where the devil hates it when you get out of bed in the morning. You know, I believe there's actually a place where a believer can walk where you become an adversary to the adversary. I believe there's a place where a believer can walk that he torments the demons of hell. Not them tormenting him. He torments them. He or she or they.
I believe there is a place where a believer can walk. Before we go any further, let me give you a little nugget. All truth goes through three stages. And you'll find us with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jewish roots, which are now beginning to flow across America and the churches. A lot of the churches today are teaching, the shofars are showing up, the banners. This is all Hebraic stuff, folks. This isn't something the Gentiles came up with. This is all Jewish stuff, okay? The shofars, the dance, the praise and worship. Have you noticed the shift in the music, huh? I watched it shift back in the 70s. Things started to shift, and I heard people grumbling and complaining, can't we hang on to the hymns? I said, listen, hymns are good. I like the hymns. There's a good place for the hymns every now and then. But that isn't what God's doing now. He's doing some other things. Now, you can add some of the hymns in with your worship, and if you do that, that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. But you need to find out what the Lord's doing and get into that. So most times when the Lord's doing something and the church is going through her changes, man, somebody said if you throw a rock down an alley and you get somebody to scream, you hit something. Yeah. And I tell you what, when we started teaching Jewish roots, it was like I threw a big rock down an alley and I hit something big and they started screaming all over the place. I had people coming to me, say, don't tell me this stuff. We don't want this Jewish stuff. My church split down the middle. I had 100 people. 50 of them left. The Lord said, let them go. He said, if they ain't with you, you need to let them go anyway. I'm telling you, Pastor, I'd rather have five that's with me. Got my heart and my heart for ministry. I don't need 100 people. I don't need 50. Give me 10 good men. Give me five. Give me seven good women. Give me somebody that's sold out. We can shake our world for Christ. Hallelujah. So most times, every time something new, and it's not new to God, it's not new to Father, but it's new to the church. People get all whacked out. Oh, this can't be. Well, how comes we haven't heard this before? And who do you think you are that you're the chosen one to bring it to us? Well, who chose you anyway? I mean, I've had it all. So first it gets rejected, and then the next step it gets violently opposed. People get mad, just like they did with Jesus. They want to kill him, you know. They want to kill him. But I'll tell you what happens. This thing of the Hebraic roots and the Jewish roots, Hebraic foundation, it's not going away. It has begun. It's going to go right on in to the rapture of the church, to the millennial kingdom. It will not be stopped. It is a sovereign move of God. Father is restoring things to us that's been lost so that we can be all that we can be. Amen? Hallelujah. The third thing about these three is, finally, it becomes self-evident because first it gets rejected. Secondly, it's violently opposed. Thirdly, they begin to say, hey, you know what? Other people are getting the same thing. You know what? People came to me after this pastor. Everybody know Perry Stone? Yeah. Perry Stone started teaching the stuff after I did. And they came to me, some of the ones that left, and they said, well, Don, you know what? You might have been right because you know Perry's teaching the same thing. Daggone. Son of a gun. Imagine that. I love telling people this. You know, truth is truth. And if truth, Jesus said, John 8:32, you should know the truth, and knowing the truth shall set you free. Well, if truth sets you free, what's a lie do? Causes you to be bound in captivity. And I'm telling you, Jesus is all about the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. There are three major questions everybody's asking on planet Earth. That is, most people today are asking one of these three questions or all three of these questions. Number one, who is God? Number two, who am I? Number three, why am I here? Most people, sensible people, are asking that question. Who is God? I'll teach you just a little bit of Hebrew. I'm not a fluent Hebrew speaker. I know enough to be dangerous. So I want you to repeat these words after me. Abba, Adonai, Elohim. Abba, Adonai, Elohim. Father, Lord God. Father, Lord God. Father, Lord God. Father, Lord God. Abba, Adonai, Elohim, Father, Lord, God. Wow, you guys are good. So who am I? What is my heritage? Why am I here? We are called, John said, who are we that we should be called the sons of God? We're not going to be the sons of God. We are. I love it with the Lord. Everything is now. Now faith is. I'm not going to be sanctified. I am. I'm not going to be righteous. I am. I'm not going to be justified. I am. You got to see yourself that way. See yourself the way the Lord sees you. The enemy will always whisper junk in your ears. The scripture tells me that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You believe that. I'm telling you, if you believe that, you make the devil nervous because he wants to put all the guilt trips on you that he can. You're not worth it. You never were any good. You'll never make it. Blessed be to God. I got words for him too. Amen. Ephesians 6:17 says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. One of the things the Lord's been putting on my heart, we have some young men coming to our church, Pastor. I got three young men. And I said, the Lord put something in my heart. And we're going to call them Judah's Royal Knights. And we're going to have a code of arms. And we're going to have a code that we live by. Anybody ever see Dragonheart? Y'all don't watch the movies, huh? I do. Dragonheart. About the old knight. He lost his way. He finds himself in a place where the old knights used to assemble. And the old knights appear to him. And he's lost his way and he's trying to find his way back. And one of the knights appear to him in the spirit and they say, a knight is sworn to valor. A knight, he is a man of honor. A knight, he is a man of integrity. This is the old code. Remember the old code. And I said, Lord, what if we would take men and women and bring them into the spirit realm and make them royal knights in the kingdom of God, huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, who is God? He's Elohim. Elohim means God of gods. It's the highest name you can give to him, Elohim. Who am I? I'm a son of God. Why am I here? I'm here as a worshiper. I'm as a light carrier, and so are you. That's who we are. Blessed be to God. We are ambassadors to Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now, let's get back to our Hebraic foundations. I'm going to speed things up a little bit. Okay, so we start with Abraham, who was Gentile, but when he comes into the kingdom of God, he's called a Hebrew. By the way, that's the first time Hebrew is ever mentioned in the scripture, is there in Genesis 14:13. And up until then, it's never mentioned. It's brought on the scene with Abraham. And what it meant was that Abraham was over here, now he was over there, he's over here now in the kingdom of God. He has moved from one place spiritually to another. I call him Hebronized. It's kind of like homogenized in the spirit. You get cleaned up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But what I want to share with you now are some of the patterns. Pastor touched on patterns. I said, yes, Lord. That's where we want to go. I'm not going to be too long with these. All prophets were either called Jews, Israelites, or Hebrews. We know that. Those are the three main names, or what I actually call surnames. You know what a surname does? A surname identifies. Do you know that the word Jew never appeared until Esther 2:5? Jew comes from the word Judah. Instead of calling them Judahites, they called them Jews. Now, what does Judah mean? Judah means praise. So what does a Jew mean? What does it mean? What is the original meaning of a Jew? One who praises God. The original meaning of a Jew is one who praises God. A Hebrew is one who has crossed over. One who has crossed over. Israelite means prince or son of the king. It also means he who wrestles with God. I like this. Somebody gave me this. Is real light. Is real light. Break it down. Is real light. We're light carriers, is that right? Amen. So what is a pattern? We know that there are natural patterns, there are spiritual patterns. Let me give you the definition of a pattern. A pattern is a model to be copied as a design. A pattern is a design from which to work from. A pattern is something to follow after. And so what I want to take you into the scriptures now, I want to show you Jew and Gentile patterns. Something awesome happened with the book of Acts when the Jew and Gentile came together. Now, for the first 10 years, there was nothing but Spirit-filled Jews. Peter preached one time, 3,000 Jews got saved. Next time, 5,000 Jews. Man, we got 8,000 Jews saved in Jerusalem. They're getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Man, you talk about the hopping church. We got it down to First Church of Jerusalem. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. There wasn't a Gentile come into Acts chapter 10. That was Cornelius. And he loved the Jews and he loved the Jewish God. And that was when the baptism of the Holy Spirit fell. We remember that back in Acts chapter 10. But up until then, the Gentiles were not part of what the Lord was doing. But the Gentiles started to come in. They started to be converted. They started coming to Christ. And what happened with the church was, for 325 years, it was Spirit-filled Jews and Gentiles worshiping together as Jewish believers. The feasts were celebrated. They met in synagogues. And the miracles were the norm. Do you realize that the book of Acts church was a bunch of Spirit-filled Jews? Nobody preaches this stuff, Pastor. We talk about, well, they're a bunch of Spirit-filled. Yeah, but what were they? They were a bunch of Spirit-filled Jews. You see, the pattern is Jew first. Romans 1:16, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's the power of God unto the Jew first and also to the Gentile. That's what the scripture says. Awesome. Did you know that up until 1968, there was no messianic churches in the world? Did you know that? This generation was the birthing of what we call Jewish Spirit-filled Jews loving Jesus started to happen. I met the man. He's passed on. He's gone on to be the Lord. His name is Manny Brockman. He started the first messianic ministry in Rockville, Maryland. And what happened with the Jews, there came an awakening. Now watch what happens here. So we got 1968. We got the Jews, all of a sudden the Jews are being shaken. They're saying, you know what, we want our prayer shawls back. We want our shofars back. We want our feast days back. We want our Saturdays back. The church has taken this stuff from us and they've stolen our identity. They don't want us to be who we are. We're done with this. And they started leaving the churches in droves. They started meeting on Saturdays. And they started celebrating their feast days and they started wearing their prayer shawls. You see, what we did to them, and we didn't know any better, was if one of them showed up at our church and come to the altar one Sunday and he got saved, and then the next Sunday he might wear his prayer shawl in or bring his shofar. He said, wait a minute, we don't do that. We don't do that. We don't do that around here. And he's offended. He's saying, wait a minute, these are mine. This is part of who I am. And so the Lord is restoring all of this stuff. All this stuff, the dance coming out of the Hebraic foundations, shofars, banners, feast days, all these things, these teachings that we have, all these things are coming out of the Hebraic foundations. You can kick against it all you want. You can try to stop it all you want, but you're going to fight against God. He's going to have his way. He's got a remnant already picked out. That's who I'm talking to tonight. I'm talking to a remnant because you can see everybody isn't here tonight. Blessed be to God, because everybody don't want what the Lord wants to give them. Listen, everything that he gives us will be good. You got to understand the Father knows best and he wants the best for us. He's not a God that's out to get us. Blessed be to God. He's for us. He's not against us. Amen. Well, Hebraic patterns. Remember Moses back in Exodus 25 and 9? God gives him this job to build this tabernacle. And I love what you said, Pastor. You were just ringing my bell. Because the Lord told him, he said, okay, you're going to make the lampstand like this. You're going to make the Ark of the Covenant like this. You're going to make the curtains. You're going to do all of this, the wood a certain way. You're going to overlay it with gold. You're going to put jewels in it. You're going to do all of that. And I asked the Father this. I said, Father, what was Moses doing for 40 days? I mean, did it take 40 days for him to get all of this? Was he taking notes? I'll tell you where I believe Moses was. I believe he's at the throne room. Amen. Can't prove it, but I believe he was translated because the Lord told him this in Exodus 25. See that you do it according to the pattern shown you. And dear ones, when we begin to find the pattern, we began to touch heaven. When we began to find the pattern, we began to touch the throne room. And that's, let's go back to worship. Worship has changed. Worship has shifted. Brother, I could have stayed there all night. That last song, I would just hang out there the rest of the night. I was locked in. I didn't have to, if we could have went home, it would have been fine with me. That's the kind of stuff the Lord is doing. He's doing a new thing. And you got to enter in. You got to embrace it. You got to embrace it. Something's happening with the worship. Thank you, Lord. Let's go back to where I wanted to go, 1968, and I'll move on. 1968, Messianic ministries began to be raised up. Somebody tell me what happened in the churches worldwide in the early 70s. Baptism of the Holy Spirit began. But first the Jew thing had to happen. First the Jews started rising up and having their own ministry. And once that started, a shift took place in the heavens. God began to pour His Spirit out again on all flesh, as He promised He would do in Joel 2, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So all through the early 70s, and what you know what I love about the Lord? He didn't care about the denomination. You could be a Catholic, you could be a Presbyterian, you could be a Baptist, you could be a Lutheran, you could be a Pentecostal, you could be a Presbyterian, you could be anything. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And He'd do it. And it'd get done. I had an experience like that. I had a Spirit-filled Jew in May of 1998. He came to our church, never met me before, took me in the office. He said, Pastor Don, this is why I'm at my church where I'm at, back in 98. He said, I got good news for you. He's a rabbi from New York, Spirit-filled man. Never met him in my life. Somebody said, Don, give this guy a chance. He came and preached in my church. That's a little dangerous. I didn't know the guy. I trusted these, but he had a word for me. Takes me in my office, sets me down. He said, Pastor, sit down. I want to talk to you. This is before church. He said, the Lord told me today's your day of breakthrough. He said, there's a river in you. It's dammed up. And the Lord says, I'm going to break that river today. Today, before you leave church, you will have the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Do you believe it, Pastor? Well, you got to understand about Pastor Don. I've been shoved on the floor. I've had them put their knees on my chest, get my tongue and wiggle it, waggle my throat, slap me on the face, speak in tongues. They did everything to me that get me to do. And the Lord told me this. He said, I have an appointed time for you. In Hebrew, appointment means moed, M-O-E-D. It means appointed time. And the Lord says, if you'll wait for me, I have an appointment for you. And that's all I needed to hear from heaven. This rabbi shows up. He says, today's your day. He said, the Lord told me, Pastor Don, that while I'm preaching my message this morning, He's going to stop me in my tracks. I'm going to point to you. Will you allow me to call you out from the congregation? And I said, yes. Hey, I done tried everything else. Why not? Hey, what's one more shot going to hurt? I don't remember what he was preaching on. He pointed to me and said, Pastor Don, will you come here? And I got started up the aisle, and I got about where the third pew was. He stretched his hand to me, and man, and I went out in the Spirit and all the way down, brother. I just broke out in this heavenly language. But it took a Spirit-filled rabbi to do that for me. And I could have had pride and said, no, wait a minute, you can't do that in my church. You know, I'm in charge here, you know. Brother, I love that the brother came up to the mic. That freedom, that's awesome. That's awesome. Let's talk about Hebraic foundation patterns. I'll give you these quickly. Joseph, the son of Jacob, married an Egyptian daughter of a priest, an Egyptian priest. Can anybody tell me her name? Barbara, stay out of it, honey. What was it? Nope. Joseph's wife was called Asenath. Got your Bibles? Go over there to Genesis 41:50. Let me back it up for you, because I really want to give you a Jewish blessing at this point. I want to teach you something. I want to teach you how to speak over each other. And this is awesome, because this blessing that I'm going to teach you is the gospel in a nutshell. Old Testament coming into the new. Watch it. Watch it. So over there in Genesis 41:50, it says that her name is Asenath, and to her and Joseph were born two sons. One was Manasseh and the other was Ephraim. And so one day I was doing a study on the study of Manasseh and Ephraim. And I said, Lord, because this is what I do. If I get a word, I gotta dissect the thing. I got to find out where it's at, what's come from, what's it mean, what's the Hebrew, what's the Greek. I got to find out. So I found out that the word Manasseh, one of the sons. Now, what is special about this? The special about this was a Jew and a Gentile came together. That's where I'm going with this. Okay? They came together. Asenath was a daughter of an Egyptian priestess, Gentile. She was as lost could be. But she married Joseph, a godly Jew, okay? So it was the coming together of Jew and Gentile. Out of that was born two sons. Now I'll get back to why they came together and why the Jew and Gentile thing. What was the ultimate purpose, the pattern that was shown here in Scripture? Watch this. Manasseh means this. May you be healed of all the wounds in your father's house. How many of you know as Christians you can get hurt in God's house? Huh? But I want to tell you what you need to learn to do. You need to learn to lick your wounds and get up and keep going. Come on, somebody talk to me. I tell you, I've run into people that have been, I got wounded. Somebody did something to me 40 years ago. I said, what? Out of the love of God comes the forgiveness of God. And when you learn to love like Jesus loved and learn to forgive like he learned to forgive, no strings attached, my brothers, sisters. He that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There is a secret place for a believer. So Manasseh means, may the Lord heal me of all the wounds in my father's house. It also means, Manasseh means, may I be healed of all the wounds in my past life. There's no one sitting here tonight that's never been wounded somewhere, somehow. Somebody's hurt your feelings somewhere. Somebody's done something to insult you, hurt you, step on you, cheat you, hurt you, rob you, kick you, whatever, mistreat you. So you've been wounded, but watch what Ephraim means. So we got these wounds that we need healed in our past life. Then I bless you with the blessing of Ephraim, double fruitfulness. See, once you get your healing in the kingdom of God, Father wants to release you in double fruitfulness. Double fruitfulness. The fruitfulness is all the goodness of God. All the goodness of God. He wants to give it to you double, more than you can handle. Hallelujah. So listen, if you got any family and you want to pray a blessing of Father, I bless them with the blessing of Manasseh. Lord, may they be healed of all the wounds of their past. This is powerful stuff. Most people need healed of the wounds of their past. And now that you're healed, may you be released in double fruitfulness. Awesome. Awesome. So now, this Jew and Gentile coming together, what happened? Well, the Scripture tells us that when Jacob and the rest of the family came to Goshen, all Israel was saved. That's what it says. The coming together, the pattern of the Jew and Gentile, Joseph and Asenath, all Israel was saved. Watch this one. This is another pattern. You remember Queen Esther? Who did she marry? She married a Gentile king. Again, it's a pattern of Jew and Gentile coming together. When it was all said and done, can anybody tell me what happened over there in Esther chapter 8? It says revival broke out in the land. So the pattern was, in this instance, was the coming together of the Jew and Gentile. Revival broke out. The pattern was back there with Joseph was all Israel would be saved. Wow. Wow. Awesome. How about Naaman? Elisha tells him, look, go down to the Jordan River and baptize yourself, immerse yourself 7 times. And he started complaining. He said, man, we got better rivers than Jordan, you know. He said, why can't I go down there? And the little Jewish girl says this to him. She says to him, she said, Master, if he would have told you to do something else, would you not have done it? If you thought you were going to be healed. Naaman says, you know what? I like what he did. You know what? What have I got to lose? I'm going down and dunk myself 7 times. And he came out healed. Again, the pattern was a Jew and a Gentile came together and healing got released. Are you seeing what I'm saying here? Do you understand what the Lord is trying to do? He's trying to bring the book of Acts church back again, where Jew and Gentile worship together as one people. So if you're not connected with a Jewish ministry, Messianic Jews in some way, shape, or form, get connected. Because I'm telling you, it's going to become the happening thing. It's a pattern. And I said to the Lord, I said, Father, okay, help me out here. What's up with the Jew and Gentile thing anyway? He said, it's just a simple act of obedience. The two coming together and worshiping together, loving Jesus, serving me. He said, all it is a simple act of obedience. What's the scripture say? God loves obedience rather than what? Sacrifice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So what's the Hebraic pattern then, coming out of what we just taught you? The Hebraic foundation pattern produces salvation. It produces healing. It produces deliverance. Everything that we need. All of these we find in our Messiah, Jesus Christ. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me give you one more nugget word. The word is messianic. You can go online, you can go in your computer, and you cannot find the definition for the word messianic. It's a new word. The word messianic, the Jews have captured it, calling themselves messianic Jews. And the word messianic, however, this is what the word messianic means. People of the Messiah. Who are you? Are you messianic? I didn't write the book. Hallelujah. So this Judeo-Christian thing is being rediscovered. It was Constantine in 325, by the way, that messed it all up. The church got deceived, thought he was somebody that had had a visitation from God. And what Constantine did was put all the Jews out of the synagogues where the Jews and the Gentiles were worshiping together. Constantine was a Roman. He hated the Jews. There was a hatred towards the Jewish people. And he despised them. So a separation came of the Jew and the Gentile. As a matter of fact, it got so bad. You can check all this out in history. Go into 325 in the year of Constantine. You'll find all this stuff. That's all on the computer. But what happened to that and what happened to the world? Does anybody know what happened to the world at that period of time? When the true Jew, the true believing Jew that loved Jesus and the true believing Gentile, when they got separated, historically the world was hurled into the dark ages. The Lord's driving back the darkness. We're coming together again. We're coming together. Jew and Gentile are worshiping together again. Today the Jews are coming to Christ in just phenomenal numbers. Used to be in Israel, if they got one saved a month, it would be something. I just heard something. My sister just told me something on PTL or one of them, one of the stations, not PTL, but one of the spiritual networks, that the number one rabbi in Israel just got saved. And he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I found out that there's a secret society of the rabbis in Israel that are born again and filled with the Spirit. And they meet secretly for fear of what the rest of them might do with them. The Lord's up to something, folks. He's up to something. Hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good? Well, the word I got, I've been carrying this word for the last few weeks. And so I said, Lord, how do you want to close the service tonight? He said, untie the elephants. Untie the elephants. And this is what else he said. He said, loose the lions out of their cage. It's time for them to roar in freedom. Open the prison doors, let the lions out. There's a lion, he dwells inside of you. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He indwells you. He wants to roar out of you. He wants to set you free tonight. Hallelujah. And all I'm going to do is give an altar call here on who wants to go to a greater place of freedom in the things of the Spirit. That's the altar call tonight. Blessed be to God. You know, an elephant, when he's very small, they tie him with a real small rope. And he's a little guy and he pulls on the stake and he says, I can't break that rope. Guess what? That same rope they use on a full-grown elephant, he's 3-ton, 4-ton elephant, same little rope tied to a peg, and he's saying, I can't get loose. You know why? Because that's all he's ever known. I say to you tonight, the Lord wants to take you to a place in the realm of the Spirit where you've never been. And I'm saying to you, do you want to go? The Lord says, I'm calling you to a deeper place in me. I'm saying to you, do you want to go? Do you want to go? If you're here tonight and you've got any needs at all, any spiritual, physical, financial, emotional needs, you need a touch of healing, whatever you have need of tonight, we want to open the altar up. Am I doing okay, Pastor? But who wants to go to a deeper place? Sister, you want to come and tickle me a little something on those beautiful keys? Can we stand together, please? I tell you what I'd like to do, brother. Let's go back to that last song. And let's sing that a while. And if you feel the Lord tugging on you for any reason at all, to come to the altar. And listen, I want to say to you about this. First 5 years I was saved, I about wore the altar out. There was a path from the fifth pew up to here. That was my path. And I tell you what, since I've become a minister, I've been in services where the altar call is given. And I say, Lord, I'm coming. I want what they're offering. All I'm calling you is deep's calling to deep. Who wants to go there tonight? I just want to pray over you. So as we worship here tonight, let the Lord have his way. You're desiring to go to a deeper place in the things of the Spirit. Listen, you have gifting in you. You have anointings in you that have not been tapped into. There's more to you than we've seen. And let me tell you what will keep you back tonight. It will keep you from coming up here to get prayer. And it's fear. Fear has torment. You don't have to be afraid of the Lord. He will not hurt you. He will not hurt you. Tonight he wants to take you to a deeper place. And I say to you, do you want to go? Then come. Come. Barbara, honey. Sister, I heard the Lord say there's longings of your in your heart, of things you're longing to see come to pass. The Lord wants you to know he's got those things that are being taken care of right now. Those longings, those desires, those things that you've been wanting to see, those things that you wanted to experience. Even for others, the Lord says, tonight you're not. It's a new day of beginning. Hallelujah. Father, take our sister deeper than she's ever been. In Jesus' name. By the power and authority of the Holy Spirit, right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah. Deep calls to deep, deep calls to deep. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, hallelujah. As soon as I touched your hand, I heard the words, heal the wounds, heal the wounds. Father, I ask that this precious sister, every hurt that's ever been in her life, everyone that's ever wronged her, everyone that's ever hurt her, Father, that she would be totally healed of that right now in Jesus' name. Lord, take her to a deeper place in you, a deeper place of knowledge, a deeper place of understanding, a deeper place of wisdom. This I decree over her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this young man. Lord, we need young men in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. As soon as I touched you, I heard the words, mighty warrior. Mighty warrior. You're a warrior in the making. A warrior in the making. The Lord says, I'm calling you to a deeper place. I'm calling you to a place of deeper wisdom, deeper knowledge, and deeper understanding. The Lord says, stay teachable. And if you're teachable, you're trainable. The Lord says, I have much to teach you, many things to show you. Yet in your life, trust me. Continue to trust me, the Lord says. And all things will come to pass in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for a deeper place. Deeper place. Deeper place in Jesus' name, Lord. Deep calls to deep. Come walk with me, daughter. I have things to show you. Things to for you to experience. Dreams that you had that have not happened, that have not come to pass. The Lord says, I will fulfill your desires. I will fulfill your dreams. Continue to trust me. Deep calls to deep in Jesus' name. Father, heal every wound. Heal every wound, and I release her in double fruitfulness in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, Father. deep calls to deep. As soon as I touched your arms, I heard the word faithful. 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 The Lord says, I'm going to take them two words and I'm going to turn them around. And I'm going to fill you full of my faith. That you'll be able to trust me for anything. The Lord says, whatever you do, don't throw away the confidence that you already have. The Lord says, I'm going to increase it. I'm going to increase it. He said, you can trust me. I brought you this far. And I didn't bring you this far to leave you. Lord, have your way with her sister. Have your way, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you that she is strong in the Lord and the power of your might, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord just wants you to know that he's able to keep whatever you give to him. So if there's a family member that's struggling, there's issues, the Lord says, won't you give them to me? And then but you got to leave them there. When you give them, you can't take them back. He says, give them to me, and I'm going to take care of it. He said, I'll go to work behind the scenes. So, Father, you said, give it to me. I can keep what you give to me. Give it to me for my keeping. The Lord says, I will keep it. Fill her full of your faith, Father. Lord, take her to a deeper place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Brother, when I touched your hands, I heard warrior. A warrior. A warrior. Filled with the power of God, with the strength of God. You have fought many battles. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I thank you that every time my brother went through a trial, Lord God, he wouldn't quit, he wouldn't give up. He wouldn't back up, he wouldn't shut up, he wouldn't let up, Lord God. Father, he has stood and is standing yet today, Father. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that you've made him and created him a vessel of love. A vessel of honor in the kingdom of God. A vessel of honor in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that he walks in your strength. I thank you, Lord, he walks in your counsel. He walks in your wisdom. He walks in your knowledge. He walks in your strength, Father, taking to a deeper place in all these things. Lord, I release this upon you in Jesus' name. I bless you, brother. I bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. As soon as I touched your hands, I heard hungry. Hungry, hungry. Lord, you're the God of the more. You're the God of more, Lord. Give her more, more, Lord. Open her eyes to see, Lord, beyond anything she's ever seen before, Lord, that she may experience you in ways she's never experienced you before, Father. Hallelujah, right now, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I hear the Lord saying he's given you a special supernatural strength. Been through some stuff and the word is through. The key word is through, and that's where we're always going. We're going through. We're going to the other side of through. So as things come up, as they do, the Lord says, don't be afraid. I've got your back. I've got your hand. Come walk with me. Come walk with me and I will walk out your purpose and your destiny. Lord, I thank you for our sister's love and her faith and her faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, Father. Continue to stir her up and use her in the days that lie ahead, Father. Lord, I pray that when she reads that book, Messianic Church Arising, Father, Lord, there'll be such a stir in her that it'll be explosive, an explosive anointing, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Worship her. Worship her. Worshiper, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Deep calls to deep. Deep calls to deep. I hear the Lord say, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to hurt you, not to harm you. I hear the Lord say, you've trusted me this far. Just continue to trust me. I brought you to this place for now, for such a time. But there are giftings, callings, and anointings in you that I'm calling forth in this day, Father, that she may walk in the fullness of all that you've called her to. In Jesus' name, raise her up beyond anything she's dreamed or imagined. Father, as she worships you, take her into the secret place. Hallelujah. Take her into the throne room, Lord, and she'll come back and she'll share those experiences with all the rest of us. Thank you for her love, her faith, and her faithfulness, Lord. thank you for every struggle and every trial. I speak Manasseh over you. May you be healed of every wound in the past. And I can release you in the blessing of Ephraim. Double fruitfulness right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a mighty man of God. Father, I thank you for David's heart. Truly, Lord, he has a heart that runs after you, that pursues you, Lord. And deep calls to deep, Father. You're calling him into a deeper place. Come, the Lord says, come. Come, let's walk this thing out together. I have things yet for you to experience. I have things for you to see. I have things for you to understand. Father, I thank you for this man of God. Thank you for his faithfulness, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for all that he's been through. Lord, I thank you that he's a trustworthy man. I thank you, Lord, that he's filled with your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding. Continue to take him places he's never dreamed of, Lord. Continue to use David, Lord, in the things of the ministry, Father. We'll be careful to praise you and thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Purpose and destiny yet to be fulfilled. That's what I felt just as soon as I touched your hands. Purpose and destiny. Father, I thank you that your will be done in this brother's life. That your purposes in the kingdom of God will be fulfilled in his life. The Lord says, I'm going to teach you to trust me greater than you have. What you've been having has been good, but the Lord says, I'm going to create a greater trust in you, a greater confidence that no matter what happens, you will trust me. Says you will trust me. Take him to a deep place, Lord. A deep place. A deep place right now. In Jesus' name. I call forth destiny and purpose. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Touched your hands, the word gracious comes to me. Gracious. Father, you're awesome. You're awesome. Father, fill our sister fresh and anew with your grace and your glory, Father, with your presence. Let her become all that she was created to be, Lord. That she'll walk in the full purposes of God. She'll walk out your destiny. Lord, that your will in her life will be accomplished. Deep calls to deep, come walk with me. Come walk with me. I will fulfill your dreams, the Lord says. Hallelujah. Father, I just break off any worry or fear that's been trying to hang around. Any worry or fear that's been trying to hang around, I break it off in Jesus' name. And I replace it with fearlessness. I replace it with the courage of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. In Jesus' name. Finally, my brother was strong, the Lord, in the power of his might.
We thank you, God, we have crossed over. We've crossed over to the other side. We were lost, now we're found. We were walking in death, now we walk in life.
Yes.
We were in darkness, but Lord, we've seen the light.
Yes.
We were sick, now we're whole.
Oh.
We were poor, and now we're rich.
Thank you, Lord.
We were alone, now we are surrounded by the hosts of heaven.
Yes, the armies of heaven.
By the glory of Almighty
yes,
God.
Yes, the Almighty.
That fills us and permeates us, God. Because we've crossed over. We've crossed over, God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for this precious gift. That Hebrew is not a natural race. But it is a spiritual condition.
Yes, it is. That's right.
We
supernatural.
Thank you, Father.
Yes.
For this that you have given to us, who have dared to call on the name of Yeshua.
Yes.
Who have dared to call on the name of Jesus, the Messiah.
Yes, Messiah.
That we could
Lamb
be called the sons, the children of Almighty
yes,
God.
Yes, the Holy One.
Father, that you would deem us acceptable. Pour out your Holy Spirit that marks us, that separates us,
yes.
That renews us, that quickens even our mortal flesh. Lord, your Spirit. Lord, not ours, but your Spirit in us. We thank you, Father. God, that Jesus prayed, John 17:3.
He did.
That we would know you.
Yes.
To be intimately acquainted
yes,
with you,
yes.
Father.
Yes.
Because you have given us an invitation. And your calling is to cross over.
Yes.
To go through all the rejection, to go through all the suffering, to go through all the conditions of the world.
Come
to
on.
Cross over. And Lord, we announce we have crossed over.
Yes.
But Lord, we are crossing over.
Thank you, Lord.
To that spiritual realm that will never see death. That new heaven,
that's
that new
right.
earth,
that's right.
That new glory of God being
yes.
manifested in what we call the
yes.
physical.
Hallelujah.
God, we are crossing over to that heavenly home.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, I've been reading Hebrews this week. And Father, you said that those who look forward to a home are confessing that this natural world is not our home. But we believe in a heavenly realm, in a spiritual Jerusalem,
yes.
that heavenly city from above, that we will dwell in that, for that is our home.
Yes.
Father, we give you praise
yes.
for your calling on us tonight. Father, I ask you to bless everyone that's here. I thank you, Lord, for the message. I thank you for Pastor Don and Barbara. Father, I pray your blessing to be upon them, and Lord, to keep them and watch over them. Father, I pray for all the visitors in our congregation tonight. God, bless us and cause a rising of your Holy Ghost
yes.
in each one of us.
Yes.
Lord, a spirit of boldness
yes.
of the Lion of the tribe of Judah to roar through us to destroy the
yes.
gates of the enemy. Praise you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
I'll just share this. We heard a teaching this week that we shall overcome the gates of hell. And the person said something, I've never thought of it this way. He said, the gates of hell are what? What are gates? They're defensive. We are going to assail the gates of hell. Because Satan has been and still is in a defensive position. And as born-again Christians, we are called to destroy the gates of hell.
Thank you, Lord.
To take territory.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You've given this to us, God. You said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But God, we will destroy those gates, for it's already been written in your book accomplishments. Father, we give you praise for this. We thank you, God, we are above and not beneath. We are the head and not the tail. We are overcomers, and we are more than overcomers through the power of Yeshua. We thank you, Lord, for this. In his name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give a shout. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God.
You,
well, we're meeting tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Be here. And we're going to go on till 12-ish. And we're going to have a good time. So we pray for you to not miss it. Amen. God bless you.